knives into schools, and they're not afraid to use them. I'm LBC crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the exclusive.
Plus, the big dog of Doge in the United States, Elon Musk, leaves. Doge continues, but could we do with a Doge-style operation here in the UK? And what sort of cash might it save? Those stories and more follow the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, financial markets have rallied after a US court moved to block Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Trade judges in New York have ruled that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the levies last month. The White House has appealed the decision, which gives the administration 10 days to comply. Christian May from City AM has told Nick it's a major setback for Mr. Trump.
A case, I believe, was brought by a wine importer and a bicycle manufacturer. The judges have concluded that the president exceeded his authority. Trump put these tariffs through on the basis that the country was facing a national emergency, as he put it, and he used those associated powers of the presidency. The court has said, hang on a minute, Congress has the exclusive powers to regulate commerce with other nations.
Figures obtained by LBC show a steep increase in children being caught with knives in schools. There were more than 2,300 cases in the last full school year, an increase of 60% over 2 years. Pupils as young as nine were found with weapons. Sam Walters, a head teacher in East London, says social media is a big part of the problem.
There's also lots of young people that do not necessarily want to commit violence, and they're not thinking, I'm going to carry a knife because I want to stab someone and hurt someone. But because of all the stuff they're seeing on social media, they're scared.
The government wants to halve knife crime over the next decade. Britain is to set up a new military command to counter cyber warfare. The Ministry of Defence will also spend more than £1 billion to develop new battlefield technology systems. It'll be part of the government's long-awaited strategic defence review, due to be published on Monday. Four people have died after hundreds of Palestinians stormed a UN food warehouse in Gaza. Two people are understood to have died in a crush, and two were killed by gunfire, but it's not clear who fired the shots. Ministers are fast-tracking two reservoir projects in England over concerns about meeting demand for drinking water. The sites in Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire would be the first new reservoirs in 30 years. And Enzo Maresca has lifted his first trophy as Chelsea manager after their victory in the Conference League final. They came from behind to beat the Spanish side Real Betis 4-1 last night.
Hopefully it can be a starting point to build a winner mentality. You need to win games, you need to win competition. For sure, the trophy we won tonight is going to make us better.
In the city, the FTSE 100's reopening at 87.26. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 19. LBC weather, cloud with a patchy rain for many places, sunny spells developing across central and eastern parts. A high of 23 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, Chip. 3 minutes after eight, Thursday, May the 29th, the diagnosis of potential industrial action for the NHS by doctors. It will cause considerable harm, says the government, and it would appear the doctors are losing public support. Where are you on that growing debate? Meanwhile, the big dog of Doge goes. Is Elon Musk wielding a chainsaw during the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington earlier this year?
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy. Chainsaw!
Well, farewell, Mr. Musk. Doge continues. Should we have a Doge of sorts here in the UK, and what would it have to achieve? The idea of changing what's on the menu for your school meals, for the school meals for your children or your child. I'll tell you the changes they want to make, and here's Environment Minister and former teacher herself, Emma Hardy, speaking with you just, 20 minutes or so ago.
I just think you have a healthy diet. I mean, I used to be a primary school teacher myself, and the school dinners that we served in the school I was at were really good, nutritious, healthy.
Plus, we will come back to the story of the day and the level of interest that you've expressed. That very dark day for policing in Sussex when they decided to taser and use a pepper spray against a 92-year-old one-legged man with dementia.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Front page of one of the newspapers, The Times. Doctors have lost the support of the public and would choke the NHS by going back on strike. So says Wes Streeting, the Health Secretary. There's only one way to find out if that's true, by the way. Have they lost your support? Mr Streeting, and you'll hear a little of what he said in just a moment, says he would not cave to a demand from the BMA, British Medical Association, to provide a 29% pay increase this year for what we used to know as junior doctors, that's now turned to resident doctors. Let me, before we get into this debate, really want to make this plain. They are a fantastic body of men and women. Probably every one of us listening, speaking now, owes the life of maybe our own life or the lives of someone we love, someone we know to them. We are blessed to have them. Thank the Lord that they are continue to train in great numbers. But is there a point where some kind of sense of reason has to break out? 29%. I mentioned Wes Streeting. Well, here's his message for the profession.
Strike action, industrial action should always be a last resort. And frankly, I'd understand it if you had a health secretary with his fingers in the ears telling you you were wrong or slamming the door in your face and not making progress on pay and conditions. But in the last 10 months, as you've got to know me as your health secretary and got to know this government, you've seen a changed approach. We've made real progress on pay. We're making progress on conditions. And most importantly of all, perhaps, we're making progress in the NHS itself. I'm not going to pretend that the progress we've made in the last 10 months has been transformational and we've washed all the previous problems away. But finally, I think we can all see we're working in an improving NHS.
Wes Streeting will speak to a couple of experts, one on the health matters, one on industrial action. Just let me give you a bit of background. You know, I quite like numbers. Junior doctors took 44 days of industrial action between March 2023 and last July, which, of course, is when the new government came in. That cancelled an additional 1.5 million appointments and or operations. That came to an end when Wes Streeting, newly imposed, awarded them a 22% pay rise just 3 weeks after taking office. 22% lift. The doctors were awarded another above-inflation pay rise of 5.4%. Inflation currently running quite a little bit below that. 5.4% this year, more than nurses, teachers and the rest of the public sector. They're now requesting 29%. I'll tell you what the most recent polling, and it's very recent polling, tells you in just a moment. And, of course, I want to hear your stories. But let's first get some background on the health issue here. Stephen Dorrell served as Health Secretary with the Conservative Party, chaired the Health Select Committee and also chaired the NHS Confederation, has now moved to the Liberal Democrat in the field of politics. But let's use your expertise, if we can, in health matters. What level of sympathy do you have? What level of sympathy do you think the public has for this? What could be potential for new industrial action? Morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Nick. I agree, if I may say so, with every word, I think, of your introduction. I think it's important to stress this. We all respect and we value and welcome. We know that we couldn't have the health service without the commitment and professional service of all the professional staff of the health service, the resident doctors, their seniors, and the nurses and other clinicians and other staff in the health service. So I agree that's the essential starting point. But if I may say so, I do disagree with the way Wes Streeting responded to this situation, because he made it extremely personal. He was asking people to trust him as health secretary to look after them. I actually think that's exactly the wrong way to do it. And the way that we certainly sought to do it, and I prefer, is to have an independent review that looks at this without asking resident doctors to cast, as it were, a vote of confidence in the health secretary. I think one of the things health secretaries have to understand, indeed most politicians have to understand, is that most of the time, most people think they're part of the problem. Don't make this a personal vote of confidence in Wes Streeting. What we should have is a system that allows this to be subject to independent review.
Keep your political hat on if you would, Stephen. Many commentators say that the BMA is becoming increasingly left-wing, increasingly politicised. You know it better than most. I appreciate not now, but in the past. How would you respond to that?
I think the BMA has always been political. I actually used to rather enjoy my exchanges with the BMA, but I never had any doubt that the representatives of the BMA were there engaged in medical politics. They were wanting to ensure that they were seen by their members to be doing a job for them. That was my experience as health secretary. I think in reality, it's been the experience of every health secretary since Anaren Bevan. Bevan, of course, famously described the BMA. The way he bought off the BMA was to stuff the doctor's mouths with gold. What didn't belie great closeness of the relationship in 1948, and I don't think things have changed much.
We're not going back to 1948, lastly, Stephen. We're going back to last year. Is the government, again with your political hat, is the government partly paying the political price for doing the deal it did so rapidly after getting into power? Are they sometimes reaping what they've sown here?
I think there's an element of that in it, I agree. And it goes back to the point that the health service, as you rightly said, and as we both said, you can't deliver a health service without the commitment of the people who work in it. And what we shouldn't be doing is picking on the resident doctors or the nurses or the midwives or the hospital porters and making any one of them heroes. What we have to understand is that 1.5 million people work in the health service. The cost of their salaries is by far the largest cost on the health service, and we have to try to be a fair employer across the whole piece. And that's why I think it's important to try to depoliticise these decisions rather than making them into a vote of confidence in the health secretary.
Always enjoy speaking with you, Stephen. Thanks for your time. Stephen Dorrell served as Conservative Health Secretary, also chaired the Health Select Committee and chaired the NHS Confederation. He's now a Liberal Democrat in his politics. 11 after 8. Let's get to the idea of industrial relations. Roger Seifert is Emeritus Professor of Industrial Relations at Wolverhampton University. When it comes to an area such as firefighters or nurses or, in this instance, doctors, how important is public sympathy in your view, Professor? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's very important, and it's always there. I mean, there's no evidence for what the Secretary of State said, that public opinion is waning with regard to support for the junior doctors or resident doctors or any other groups within the health service. So I'm not sure where he gets his data from, but basically there's always support and sympathy because everybody knows the important job they do and also that we need them there when we need them there.
But you're never going to square the circle, are you? Because, let's be honest, if a resident doctor saved your life or the life of someone you know, then they should be paid at the level of Premier League football players. That's the reality, isn't it? We're never going to get around that issue, Professor.
Well, of course not. But the question of pay is actually very difficult. And it's interesting what your previous speaker said. In my view, all public sector pay, by definition, is a political matter because it's a choice by government at the level at which it's set now and into the immediate future. And for someone, as you said, you were interested in data, we should be clear that the 22% was over 2 years,
yes,
when, in fact, inflation in those 2 years was around 17%. So I think we have to put it in perspective that actually, in real terms, their pay hasn't gone up that much over the last few years.
But are they right to try and seek now a 29% lift?
Well, again, that's over 3 years, and it's an adjustment. What they're arguing, which people will have sympathy with, is why are they worse off now than they were in 2008?
But loads of folk are, Professor. Loads of people are.
Yeah, and loads of people are also discontent, and loads of people also would wish to push their pay up higher. But not everyone's in that position. That's why the junior doctors, in so many numbers, belong to their union. We should be aware of that. They're very heavily unionized. Over 80% choose to belong to a trade union, the BMA in this case. And in my view, the Wes Streeting intervention will increase the yes vote for strike action, because whatever fantasies he has, the reality on the ground is that most resident doctors are not impressed by him. And as far as they're concerned, that sort of intervention at this stage will make them even angrier, even more determined to take strike action.
Grateful for your time as ever, Professor. Thank you. Roger Seifert is Emeritus Professor of Industrial Relations at Wolverhampton University. Now, there is some research, the Professor won't have seen this because it's only come in overnight,
that junior doctors, or resident doctors as they're now known, are losing public sympathy over their latest strike. The medics started a ballot for a fresh wave of walkouts after being offered 5.4%. The work has been done by YouGov, and they've found that the public support for striking from junior, from resident doctors has fallen from 52% last summer to 39% this week. So that's quite a drop. 52 plays 39. Where are you on that? Where are you on your level of sympathy? Now, it's important to say this 22%, it was not in one hit. It was over a couple of years. But it's also important to say that the offer they've had is 5.4, is significantly above inflation. So is Wes Streeting, he solved the last one in 3 weeks. Now, of course, he's possibly faced that the doctor said, well, you've done it once before. You managed to break the bank, or whatever it was you might want to call it before. We want it again. So should they now, or are you starting to lose public sympathy for the doctors who, of course, might not see you now, and the waiting list will swell? We'll come to your views on that. Also, the LBC exclusive, a nine-year-old using a knife with a kill-or-be-killed mentality. An LBC exclusive report follows this. 8.15, LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
A court in the US has moved to block Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Figures obtained by LBC show there were more than 2,300 cases of children being caught with knives in schools last year. The UK is to spend about £1 billion to better connect weapons systems and speed up battlefield decisions. LBC weather, most places cloudy with some patchy rain, sunny spells in central and eastern areas, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M25 anti-clockwise to the roadworks at Junction 10 at the A3. There are delays of about 40 minutes on the approach. Also on the M25, one lane's closed clockwise just after Junction 16 at the M40, and that's where a lorry has broken down. Delays of around 20 minutes on the M2 westbound up to Junction 2 at the A228. Those emergency bridge works are still taking place. In Bermondsey, there are queues on the A2 Old Kent Road westbound. That's all down to an accident. And in Thornton Heath, it's very busy on the A23 London Road northbound up to Oaklands Avenue. That's also after an accident. And very busy on Chelsea Bridge this morning because Albert Bridge remains closed.
This is LBC.
Samantha!
Go on, reward yourself. Get £4 2D tickets at Cineworld when you book online using club card vouchers and visit between 27th of May and the 8th of June, celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Prices for standard 2D ticket, T's and C's apply. See tesco.com/cineworld.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC. In the time it takes to boil your kettle, you could find out if you can claim for a missold PCP agreement. Visit claimsforcars.com, answer a few easy questions, and you'll find out in seconds. If you financed a car between 2007 and 2021 and weren't shown different options or discussed dealer commission, you could have a claim. Claims for Cars is helping people get back thousands on a no-win, no-fee basis. Get the answer in seconds at claimsforcars.com.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on. Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
How would you like to be a Win Plus winner? Enter now to win huge cash prizes and loads more at winplus.co.uk. 18 plus, GB only, T&Cs apply.
For simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
Find out if you can claim compensation for a missold PCP agreement or a faulty DPF filter. Just visit claimsforcars.com and you'll get the answer in seconds.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Just coming up on 8.19, Paddy, you'll be the first caller. So our resident doctors, no longer junior doctors, our resident doctors say we want more money and we want it now. We want to catch up with inflation. The government says, come on, you've done so well. You've gave you a good deal. You're getting above inflation now. We're starting to get a grip on trying to get down those waiting lists and the level of operations. That's what the health secretary says. Who's right? Paddy in Hull. Which side do you take, Paddy? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. The doctors, I'm talking about doctors, social workers and nurses, have all had a hit on their wages since 2010, since austerity, and beyond that. I mean, wages weren't particularly in line with any kind of inflation before that. But the thing is...
So have lots of other jobs, you know. Many other jobs.
I mean, there's always this argument, this thing saying, well, you know, there's always this comparison. There always is a comparison in jobs. I'm sure what you get paid in your job is comparable to some other jobs. But, you know, I mean, you can always make that comparison. But the thing is...
Strikers, Manchester United, things like that. Yes,
You know, when you look at the Premier League and you look at the Championship, that's just a comparison. There's a vast... sea of difference there. But the thing is, the union is responding to its members. The members are, of course, lobbying their union as well. So you've got to take that on board. And Mr. Streeting, I think, had come out when they got into power and said that, you know, they were going to fix this doctor thing. Well, they haven't fixed it.
Well, they did. They fixed it for about 8 months. About 10 months, didn't they?
No, that's what they told you. They told you they'd fixed it, but they haven't. What they've done is they've come out and give some media spin on it. And I can't recall the BMA ever making a statement saying, oh, yes, it's also... Yeah.
This is my job, but if I had to ask you, how many times do you think BMA has taken industrial action over the last 2 years? Said they would walk out. How many times do you think they've said we're ready to walk out and take industrial action? I don't expect you to know. That would be 11 times in the last 2 years. So it's almost every other month the doctors say, up with this, we will not put, we're going to walk out. What does that tell you about the political...
That just tells you what you need to know, doesn't it? Because it tells you that...
That it's politicised.
Well, no. Right, so to get people to walk out on a strike... There has to be, that's like the end of the road. There has to be a lot of discussion
Paddy, they've been offered 5.4, inflation's at 3.5. There will be many people who are not in the public sector getting up to go and do jobs they loathe who would dream of a 5.4% pay rise, and they know they're not going to get it. I know these men and women do fantastic jobs. I accept that. I get it. They're amazing. But when does it end? Are we going to give them all Bentleys with chauffeurs? Where does it end?
Well, you see, what you're doing, Nick, is you're trying to kind of make out as if, you know, oh, well, they just need to capitulate and come into...
I don't call an above-inflation pay rise capitulation.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, and people always use this argument of saying, well, it's not in line with inflation. And like you just said, oh, they've walked out 11 times. That tells me
they've threatened to walk out.
Or they've threatened to walk out 11 times. That just tells me that that what we're hearing in the media... is not correct, is it? The conversations they're having with government aren't coming to any satisfactory conclusion.
All right, I'm going to put you down very much in the side of the doctors as against the government. Paddy, many thanks for getting us started. Linda, you'll be the next caller, but let's go to other matters and a story we've already mentioned. An LBC investigation finding children as young as 9 are among thousands of kids taking knives to school. Data obtained by LBC shows a 60% increase in youngsters caught with a blade on school premises in the last 2 years. Here with the details of the exclusive report is LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes. Andy, morning.
Morning, Nick. Now, you know as well as I do that knife crime is a problem that has not been going away. And not only has it not been going away, it's been getting worse. Just to give you an idea of where we're at now. Pre-pandemic, 2019-2020, it was described as a national crisis by the government and senior police officers. Now, knife crime is up 20% since then. So, and when I speak to police officers about this issue, they say that the main issue and the main worry they have is that the people that are carrying knives are getting younger and younger. So we thought a good place to start was by finding out exactly how many children have been carrying a knife in school. Now, this is not an easy task because schools and local authorities simply don't want to tell you. But our very tenacious colleague, Connor Hand, has managed to do just that. And what he's found is pretty extraordinary. We've discovered that the number of kids caught with a knife in school has gone up 60% in the last 2 years. That's an average of 12 knives a day. And the real figure will be far higher because only half the schools decided to give us the data. So what I wanted to do is hear from the horse's mouth of a young person who actually carries a knife. I wanted to ask, why they chose to do what they did. So I spoke to a kid, he was 18. He joined a gang when he was 10. In the last couple of years, three of his friends have been murdered because of knife crime. Have a listen to this.
This kid, he must have banged like a knife in, but it wasn't like, no, like normal knife. It was like one of them big...
Well, like zombie like knife.
One of them, nah, not machete. A machete, like the red...
Brought
the
machete in the school.
Yeah, like the red machetes. Cars pulled up outside the school and that, and like started ramming the gates and that with their cars.
Why do you think there's this culture now of kids just thinking it's normal to carry a knife?
They've seen social media and they think it's normal.
So I just want to pick up on that last point you made. They see it on social media and they think it's normal. And time again, when I've been speaking to people about this issue, this keeps cropping up. And it's what the kids are seeing on TikTok and Snapchat. Not only are they exposed to serious violence, videos of children attacking other children with knives, it's basically an Amazon for these kids to buy and sell knives. So what I wanted to do was hear from kids in schools to see what they thought about this. We were given extremely rare access to a school in East London. Now, this is a secure unit for kids with severe behavioural problems.
This is like the unit out of that Netflix show Adolescence, then. This is children who've been involved in that serious level of crime. Just to put this in listeners' mind.
Exactly. All the kids here have been affected by knife crime in some way. So I spoke to head teacher Sam Walters, extraordinary bloke. He dedicates his life to helping these the most troubled kids in society. And I asked him what he thinks the root of the problem is.
I've worked with young people that have been stabbed and murdered with knives. I've worked with young people that are in prison that have killed other young people. Kids are becoming desensitized to things that we would once upon a time be completely shocked and blown away by. There's also lots of young people that do not necessarily want to commit violence, and they're not thinking, I'm going to carry a knife because I want to stab someone and hurt someone. But because of all the stuff they're seeing on social media, they're scared.
Now, other than Sam, I spoke to a lot of the kids there, and they all said the same thing, that they saw these videos and it was completely normal. I said, do knives scare you? All of them said, no, not at all. I was really struck by one conversation I had with a 14-year-old kid. And I asked, he seemed a really sweet kid, but I said to him, do you know anyone who's been stabbed? And he said, three or four of my friends have been stabbed in the last year. But he said it like...
Matter of fact.
And yeah. It was like it was nothing to him. It didn't seem shocking whatsoever. So, but the 14-year-old, I mean, that's by no means the youngest. Our investigation has found that a 9-year-old had carried a knife into a school. And not only that, he wasn't afraid to use it. I spoke and I tracked down the mentor that helped this kid. Because he's 9 years old, he's too young to be prosecuted, so he's put in touch with a counsellor. This counsellor, listen, I'm a seasoned crime journalist, Nick. It takes a lot to shock me, but this story stunned me. Have a listen.
He said to me that he'd carry a knife to protect himself because in his mind it was kill or be killed mentality.
He's 9 years old, though.
I know, but in his mind it's like, they can't get to my brother, they get to me, but I'm not allowing them to kill me. So if I've got a knife, I've got a chance of killing him first. And
so he was willing to use the knife?
Oh, yeah, 100% to protect himself.
Just final point. Are you able to tell us what part of the country that lad was in?
Yeah, so that was in the West Midlands, which is...
Isn't that the worst part for the... Is approaching worst in Europe, certainly the worst in the United Kingdom.
Well, yeah, I mean, the UK is the worst in Europe, and so this is the worst in the UK. This is the knife crime capital of Europe. And this story is unfortunately a familiar one in that area.
Lastly, as you rightly say, you've been a crime correspondent for a number of years. What do the police say to this issue, briefly? How do they view this?
Well, it's interesting because I've been asking a lot of police officers what the solution is. And every single time I ask them, I kind of see the life drain out of them. They start saying they don't have the answer, Nick. They don't have the answer. What this requires is, it's clearly... what the kids are seeing online through social media, that will require the social media companies to comply with the government and police. Good luck with that. They don't exactly have a rich history of doing that, do they?
LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the exclusive report. Thank you. 8:29 is the time. Let's get one more call in. We will, of course, take your calls on that. Shocking, as I say, the age now, that 9-year-old in the West Midlands. Let's, though, talk about the doctor's strike, which could be on its way. Remember, this will be 11 threats now in 2 years. Linda's in Kidsgrove. What level of sympathy do you have for them? Linda, good morning.
Good
Good morning, Nick. I enjoy your programme very much.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah, I have a long-standing health condition.
Ah.
And I am petrified of them going on strike.
Right.
Cancelled appointments, cancelled this, cancelled that. And another thing I can't understand, Nick, is why the managers are paid so much for just pen pushing. Where are the old, what I call the Hattie Jakes?
The carry-on woman.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk about their lot when you're talking with the doctors and nurses? Do you ever say, oh, it's awful that you might have to go on strike, or I do think you...
No, I just don't mention it, Nick. I just think to myself, thank God they're here today and they haven't cancelled my appointment.
If they were to take industrial action, would you support them?
No.
Why?
No. I mean, if I was in the profession, which I'm not, I'd think to myself, what is this going to do to somebody and the knock-on effect? It's like Skittles. My appointment's been cancelled. Somebody else's appointment's been cancelled. This has been cancelled. That's been cancelled. And then in the end, they're making it worse for not only the patients, but for themselves.
You look after yourself. I hope you don't need any treatment for a long time. Thanks, Linda. Raj says, I'm on the side of the public. We want doctors that care about patients, not money, when they're already highly paid. I'm not sure about that, Raj. I mean, of course we want doctors who care about patients. I think they do. But I do think in this instance, they've probably done quite well. So I'm sort of 50% of the way with you. Mike in Manchester, I supported them. I don't any longer. They're getting above inflation rises. The country is in a mess. Don't make it worse than we need to with more debt. And where do they expect the money to come from? We'll continue with that. Also, if we're talking money, what about the big dog of Doge, Elon Musk, preferred to by President Trump in November?
We have a new star. A star is born. Elon. Now he's an amazing guy.
Well, it's so long, Elon, now, as he leaves, but Doge continues. What would the impact be here of a Doge in the UK? That's after this. It's just at 8:31. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC, and the news is read by Thomas Watts.
A court in New York has blocked Donald Trump's tariffs on imports from almost every country. The White House has appealed the decision, which says the administration has 10 days to halt the taxes. Ministers have moved to fast-track the construction of two reservoirs in Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire. They want to speed up the planning process over concerns about meeting demand for drinking water. Four people have died after thousands crowded into a food warehouse in Gaza. Two Palestinians reportedly died in a crush, and two others were killed by gunfire at the UN facility. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas. A high of 23 degrees.
LBC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My claim group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on. Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:33, coming back to your calls, Mohammed and Daryl, on the idea of potential doctor strike. I remind you, 11 threats of industrial action over 2 years. Two ways of looking at that, as I did with Paddy the caller. He says it shows the dire situation in which doctors now find themselves, resident doctors as we call them. Another interpretation is how increasingly politicised that union is becoming, and we'll come back to that in other matters. Now, if you were listening in the first hour, there were two stories that broke out of the United States overnight. One, of course, was the latest particular battle in the war over those Trump tariffs, and the other was farewell, so long, Elon Musk. Here he is, wielding his chainsaw to bureaucracy in Washington in February.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy.
Well, he moves. The Doge continues. He'd clashed in private with some Donald Trump cabinet-level officials. He was looking for $2 trillion initially. That then got cut to $1 trillion. That then got cut subsequently. What do we know? Well, we know that around 260,000 of a 2.3 million-strong federal workforce have had their jobs cut or have accepted redundancy packages through to Doge. $175 billion is the figure put to the savings. That's around £130 billion. How often, I mean, just can you imagine that money? £130 billion piled up on your kitchen table. And how often do we talk about, oh, I can't believe the government are spending on this, or why are the local authority digging up the pavement yet again, or why have we got those, nothing wrong with those roadways? Do we need a Doge of sorts in the United Kingdom? Let's turn to businessman and entrepreneur Luke Johnson. Now, Luke's a director of Gale's Artisan Bakery, chairman of the Brighton Peer Group, chaired Pizza Express, Channel 4, Royal Society of the Arts, and many other businesses to boot. He wrote a piece some time ago, actually, for the Daily Telegraph, saying Britain needs a Doge. Luke Johnson joins me now. Why? What would a Doge achieve, Luke? Good morning.
I think a Doge could achieve improvements and efficiencies in the huge amount of taxpayer money spent on our behalf. You know, the annual expenditure now, public spending, is well over £2 trillion a year, approaching 45% of GDP. It's unsustainably high, and we are never going to get higher living standards and growth if we carry on like this. And the waste and corruption and, you know, just misallocated resources needs to change.
Luke, can you run a country in the way you run a business?
No, of course not. They're completely different.
So what is what could be learned then? Where should we look?
Well, I think we have to try. You know, I think we have to look at all areas of public spending and look at, you know, for example, productivity has gone backwards dramatically in public spend in the public sector over recent years. Hasn't really benefited, it seems, from the digital revolution, which the private sector has. If you look at the NHS, now approaching £200 billion a year, there are fewer procedures, longer delays. This cannot be right or good. Who is saying that the NHS is better than it used to be and that the money is wisely spent? I don't think anyone is. And meantime, as you just mentioned, the doctors want to be paid very significantly more. So something has to give, doesn't it?
What is the metric by which an NHS should be judged, Luke?
Well, I think there are lots of things, and a quick off-the-cuff answer isn't the right one. You know, one needs to do thorough analysis and work out how we can be more efficient so that there is less waste and that the results are better. But if you look abroad, many other countries, and I'm not talking about America, but I'm talking about in Europe and Australia and other places, seem to have systems that do actually work better, get better results, and possibly even cost less. So I think we should be realistic and say the NHS is far from perfect. For example, that's just one branch of government.
Yes, of course.
Must be improved.
Back to the US. Was Elon Musk the right man to head up Doge?
I don't know, but I think he started the process. And I think simply questioning the vast increases in public spending that have gone on in recent years in an economy that is overall stagnant has got to be right, because you know, taxpayers are leaving, tax receipts are falling short of expectations, and as I say, it's unsustainable, and we're living beyond our means as a country, and sooner or later we have to sell £300 billion of bonds this year, gilts. We may not be able to do that, and in which case there will be a serious credit crunch. And then people's living standards really will fall.
Do you see that happening, Luke?
I think it's possible, yes. Because, you know, the fact of the matter is that investors are not stupid. We're paying higher coupon for our money, our bonds. We are having to sell our bonds with a higher interest rate than any other comparable country. And that tells you that investors have serious doubts about the sustainability of the national finances.
Always enjoy speaking with you. Good luck to you. Thank you for your time, Luke Johnson, businessman and entrepreneur. Such a checkered history. Director of Gales Artisan Bakery, chairman of Brighton Peer Group, chaired Pizza Express, Channel 4, Royal Society of the Arts. He knows his business, literally, but would a Doge work here of sorts? Remember, in the United States, their target was to save £4 billion a day. A day. They've come up short. They have saved a lot of money, but they save a lot of money by sacking people. They don't actually really create anything. Well, obviously, if you've got a bloated budget, that's what you do, but would that be the way forward here? Let's come back to... We talked a little bit about it there, didn't we? The doctor's demand for more money. Mohammed in South Shields, thanks for hanging on the line. What level of sympathy or support do you have for them? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Hello. Rachel, as always.
Thank you.
Hi, sir. I would say I'm not in favour of them getting more money. I thought this nonsense was all sorted out last year. You know, with them getting extra money for this and extra money for that, and, you know, the poor pensioners had to be shifted. So they didn't get that £300 because of the pay. They got whatever they wanted in the pay rise. I thought this was all sorted out, Nick.
And now, well, so did I. And I think probably the government did. So what should we take from that?
Well, I think, you know, if I asked my employer for a 22% pay rise, mm-hmm. I know what my employer would say, Mohammed, go somewhere else, you know.
But then you said, hang on, what you, then you, Mohammed, you say, yeah, but hang on, I got a lower than inflation pay rate last year and the year before that and the year before that, and I've got to play catch up, is broadly what the BMA would say. Mohammed?
Well, you know, we've all got to live within our means, but if they're asking for more money, what else is going to suffer, Nick?
Well, they've got to find the money from somewhere, haven't they? Lastly, did the government make a mistake coming in, doing that deal, 22% over 2 years, within 3 weeks of getting into the job? Have they made the rod for their own back?
I believe so, Nick, yes.
All right. OK, thanks for that. That's 8:41. Daryl in Newcastle. Daryl, your reaction. Where do your sympathies lie on this one? Good morning.
I'm not with the doctors, unfortunately, Nick. So I'm an advanced nurse practitioner. I'm a band 7, so middle wage. So everyone can check what salary I'm on.
Right.
Basically, we don't need to have pay rises at all. The problem is we pay too much tax. The problem that you've got, if you pay the doctors 22%, that's going to cost a lot of money. So the Bank of England's going to have to do quantitative easing, means printing more money, means inflation goes up. It means we're back to square one. And if the doctors are whinging about staffing levels, we've always had hardly any staff. What they need to do is drop IR35 and we'll all be crawling over each other to do shifts like what we used to do before 2017. So, you know, the government...
IR35, just to explain, this is where people were in, and it's not just in medical, it was in law, it was in media, it was even, I understand, even in lorries, even in haulage. You were able to effectively have your own company, you had to supply them more, to more than one employer, but it meant that there were certain tax efficiencies that you could explore in your own company than you were if you were a regularly salaried employee. Just to explain to listeners who don't know, what's the impact? So you're obviously in medicine then? Oh, you're in healthcare or something?
I'm a nurse, yeah. I'm a nurse, yeah.
So did you benefited from IR35 for a while, did you?
Everybody did. The entire NHS did. We had people literally fighting to do extra shifts because it was that lucrative, it was that good for staff.
When was it shut down in your profession?
Sorry, sir.
When did they revoke IR35 in your profession?
2017 in the public sector.
What was the impact?
Terrible. We had no one wanting to do extra shifts. So this is terrible. The other thing, Nick, I just wanted to quickly put out there. Mm. My wife's actually in hospital with a pulmonary embolism and she's a nurse.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going on strike. I'm back to work as per usual. The doctors, I know it's a hard life for them, but it's always been hard. They just need to shut up and get back to work, exactly what I'm doing.
How do they treat a pulmonary embolism? What do you have to do?
Anticoagulants.
Okay.
And break down the clot. But like I say, I can't go on strike.
No, of course. How was your wife diagnosed? Because that I read, that can be like a silent killer, can't it? You don't actually know.
Shortness of breath, chest pain, and a scan called a CTPA.
Okay. Listen, wish her a speedy recovery. Daryl, thank you. Now, that man is in the profession, and he doesn't see the logic. Keith's in Bristol. Keith, your reaction. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Nick. I haven't spoken to you for a long time.
Good to have you on, sir.
Yes, I'm very concerned about this ridiculous claim, again, from the junior doctors, whatever you call them now.
Resident. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I do feel that although the BMA has always been a very strong union, and you remember how they turned over the government in 2006 when GPs, you know, got up to 100,000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was Tony Blair, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's right, and they just didn't get, you know, the negotiators just completely failed. I think what's happening now is, with junior doctors wanting to go to Australia, et cetera, and with this sort of claim, I feel as if it's showing that they don't really respect the ethos of the NHS, which is an unusual model, being completely free at the point of use in all cases. And really, it's at the end of the model, and we have to look for something else. And as somebody just said previously, we're always down the league, around about 15th or 14th or 15th in terms of what our success rate is with survivable diseases, which is not successful. And I'm just wondering, the thing has now come to an end, and we have to think of something else.
Sorry, when you say it's come to an end, what do you mean by it's? What aspect has come to an end? Just clarify
the
that.
The model, which is this free at the point of delivery.
Right. Well, it doesn't
that,
work.
Although we like it, and we all absolutely love the idea of it, it just can't go on, in this particular circumstance? And that's showing, I think, a disrespect by the junior doctors to what we all want.
I always sort of think this point as regards the NHS. If it is such a fantastic success, why isn't it copied around the whole of the world?
Well, exactly. I mean, my daughter lived in France for a long time, and the system over there must be about the best in the world. And as you know, over there, the government pays 70% of all costs until you retire, in which case it pays them all. And then she used to pay 30%, and then you could insure that 30%.
It is different. Again, it has done fantastic things for me and my family, the NHS. It has been a jewel in the crown, but it's at quite some cost, and it's not going forward, let's be honest. I think the government is struggling just to hold the line. Keith, thanks for getting involved. Good to hear your voice again. We have to get a move on. Also, I should remind you, coming up in the next hour, we will return to that extraordinary story of police officers who tasered and pepper sprayed a 92-year-old man with one leg and dementia. They had pepper spray, they had asps or night batons, they had tasers and stab vests. He had a 4-inch butter knife. Well, he had to be taken down, didn't he? We'll come back to your views on that. It's 8:46, LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
Financial markets have rallied after a US court moved to block Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Figures obtained by LBC show a steep increase in the number of children being caught with knives in schools. And Britain is to set up a new military command to counter cyber warfare. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells in central and eastern areas, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue on the M2 westbound to Junction 2 at the A228 because of the emergency bridge repair works. On the M25, there are delays clockwise to Junction 16 at the M40, and that's where a lorry's broken down and one lane is closed for recovery. Slow in Thornton Heath on the A23 London Road northbound, heading up towards Oaklands Avenue. That's all down to an accident. In Bermondsey, there are queues on the A2 Old Kent Road in both directions following an accident, and one lane's closed on the A3 southbound at Roehampton Lane, and that's because of an ongoing investigation. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Central Line, and that's because of an ongoing shortage of trains.
LBC.
Here, Sandra, listen to this email. Felicitations and unalloyed joy to you. Could you help with a small inconvenience? I possess $32 million in an account belonging to my father, the Prince. We need an honest person to bank this amount for us. We're quits in, babe.
Some things are too good to be true. The Specsavers Too Good Deal isn't. Get two pairs of glasses for £70. Include single vision lenses to the same prescription. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
Quits in!
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini-golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
At Wix. Save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
With
Little Plus Fruity Super Spin. Simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prices available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/bin.
Search Kayak for great deals on flight. Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire. Huh. With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for flight, I mean car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This is LBC. Message Nick Ferrari on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
10 minutes before nine. Come back to our junior doctor's conversation. Gary, you'll be the next caller. But if you were listening yesterday, many of you were, you would have been affected by that horrific story that we covered here on LBC of the young child who may remember the grieving parents of a baby boy. He died aged just 15 weeks after living in a mould-ridden home. Akram Mohammed had developed respiratory problems living in a part of West London. Now, his father, Abdul Shafi, told LBC he thinks the mould in that home contributed to the early death of his child.
The mold helped to kill my son. And the condition of the house, when it's raining, the water coming from inside. Damp, it smell strong like the air. The air is not fresh.
Now, that was in London, but LBC's now learnt that research homes in the northwest are most likely to be affected by what's called a deadly house mould. Experts believe is silently killing Britons, a silent killer. Residents in cities such as Manchester, Preston and Liverpool, nearly four times more likely to have homes suffering from that kind of mould compared to other parts of the country. Well, listening to that yesterday was Christopher Thomas. Now, he owns and is a director of Arc Air Tech. That's Arc, A-R-C, Air Tech, providing air systems designed to eliminate mould, and he got in touch to tell us more. Thanks for coming on, Mr. Thomas. What is the product, then, that you're marketing, and how does it work? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you very much for having us on. So, our technology is in two of our air systems, and what it is designed to do, it produces an active cleaning agent that is the same way our planet self-cleans itself. That cleaning agent is known as a hydroxyl. It releases out into the housing environment and it seeks and molecularly bonds to mold and breaks it apart, reverting it back to its base elements. That is not only in the air, but that is also on surfaces and within porous materials. Therefore, we are creating a healthy home. And the same process is not just for mold. Our technology also eliminates other contaminants that are found within homes, such as VOCs.
What causes mold?
So mold is obviously caused by damp and poor conditions or poor structural work. There are many different variables that are the reason that could be the reason behind mold is forming inside a home. The beauty of our technology is it doesn't really matter how the mold is forming. The main principles of mold is they need spores to regenerate. That's what they produce, and that's how they form colonies, whether it's within surfaces or other materials. Our technology stops that process and eliminates it.
You were listening to the story on LBC yesterday and you got in touch. What shocked you most about that, Mr. Thomas?
It's just the consistent sort of, because we're very fortunate to where we are working with housing associations and we're seeing all of the conditions on the ground. It really is heartbreaking to see that more and more situations like this are happening, particularly for children such as Akram, who was only 15 weeks old. And this isn't the first. And whilst we do understand it may not have been directly related to mold, it certainly can be considered a contributing factor. And there are many cases like this that are starting to pop up, and we have seen it firsthand on the ground. So some of the conditions that tenants are living in, and it is heartbreaking to see.
Christopher, do you work directly with local authorities and housing associations then?
Yeah, we do. So our story is quite a unique one. We never intended to produce our technology into housing. We originally started, as you know, Nick, in providing solutions to hotels, care homes, and direct to consumer. It was only after we published the testing stats on what we could do for mold, we were approached by the MP, Fleur Anderson, who was a huge advocate for healthy homes and bringing AWAB's law into the private sector. Subsequently from that, we were introduced to the Deputy Lord Mayor, Tom Copley, and he very kindly introduced us to the G15, where we were tasked with answering a key question. Yeah. Can our technology do what we found in labs? Can it eliminate mold within homes?
You mentioned AWAB, just to remind everybody, that was AWAB Ishak, the Sudanese two-year-old boy who died in Rochdale in 2020 after developing breathing problems. Lastly, Christopher, people are going to be thinking the cost. How do they find out more? What is the cost of these units?
Sure thing. So they can check out our website at arcairtech.com. And the cost of these units, it's £750 plus the VAT for a portable unit and £690 plus the VAT for the fixed unit.
That does a whole house, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the hydroxyl technology is extremely active and it's energetically charged. So one of our units will cover up to 1,500 square foot, which is about 125 square meters. And simply, you put it centrally inside a property, whether that's in a landing or a hallway, and the technology will make its way throughout the property.
And it needs emptying like a dehumidifier, or how does it work?
No, so the technology, there's nothing to sort of interfere with for the tenant. Right. It just works. It's a cell inside of it, which is our patented technology. As air and moisture pass through the machine, it converts that into an active cleaning agent, like I mentioned, which was a hydroxyl. Nothing for the tenant to do. The product is there just to protect them.
Christopher Thomas, thank you for getting in touch. Having heard the report on LBC yesterday, you're the owner and a director of Arc Air Tech, which provides those bits of kit. If you are a landlord listening, or indeed if you're listening, I know it's a considerable outlay. But if, as the LBC report yesterday suggested, this young man, this baby, well, not a young man, was he? Baby boy, is only 15 weeks, then it's worth looking at. Thanks for your input on that. Four to nine is the time. Let's come back to junior doctors, other health matters, and the level of support. Gary's in Yorkshire. Well, Gary, how much support do you have for them? Good morning.
I have a lot of support for junior doctors, but however, I don't agree with the current pay structure. I think it needs looking at in the round. Junior doctors have a 12-year career progression to get to consultant level, where they face exams that they have to pay for every year or so that cost thousands. Their subscriptions to the BMA and medical insurance also cost thousands. And don't forget, they've got 5 years at university, so they've got a 5-year student loan.
They know that going in, though, don't they? They do realise that going in, Gary.
Yeah, but, you know, if we're not careful, we won't have junior doctors or the junior doctors. And we're seeing it now in many ways, you know, that there are a shortage of junior doctors. Junior doctors aren't staying. So we've got to be pragmatic about this and listen to them.
Is being pragmatic just to give them the 29%?
No, what I think we should do is we should look at it in the round. What about if they commit, once they've reached a consultant level, if they commit to or GP level, whatever it is they're heading for, once they've done that, why don't we look at reducing their student loans and any other costs it takes in getting there? And then once they are fully trained in a consultant level and earning, you know, a very decent salary, a very, very decent salary, and they've got private practice, et cetera, et cetera, we get it all back in tax anyway.
So just a little more detail. So how would that work in more? I see what you're getting at with this student loan, as it were. How would that work? Just a little more detail.
Right. What I would say was, why don't we say, first of all, no interest on student loan.
Yep.
Secondly, if you commit to working in the NHS for 5 or 10 years, we reduce your student loan dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it's not about pay then, it's about looking at the total situation that junior doctors find them in.
Gary, thanks for hanging on the line and making your points. Let's see if others agree. I'm just finishing because I've got a little under a minute before we give you the full news update, and I want to feature some more of the social media and texts that are coming in. Stephen Crow in Raines Park. The issue of doctors' pay is simple. If it is correct in real terms, doctors are paid less than they were in 2008. It is a national disgrace and must be rectified immediately. Meanwhile, David Burns in Dorset says, not only a massive pay rise already received, another one just offered, but we pay nearly 24% into their gold-plated NHS pensions. They are becoming quite greedy. Meanwhile, Jack's in Devon, also in Devon. Where are these people moral and ethical compasses and even considering threatening industrial action? You don't see social care workers strike because they're not happy with their salaries. Social workers and others working in local government work just as hard, but don't complain. All right, do keep them coming. And coming up after the news, here's the moment that a 92-year-old amputee with dementia was tasered by Sussex police.
Do it now. Drop the knife.
Donald, put it down. Taser, taser. There we are. Two young police officers taken on a 92-year-old man. He died 22 days later. Not as a result of that, but because of his hospital admission. Plus... Now they want to change what's on the menu at the schools for your child or your children. So what will their lunches possibly comprise? Those stories and more after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, financial markets in Europe and Asia are in positive territory after a US court blocked Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Judges in New York have ruled that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the levies last month. The White House, which has 10 days to comply with the ruling,